You can begin taking your Bibles tonight and be finding in them 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 10th verse. And you can just leave your Bibles open there tonight. Those of you who may be interested, on Wednesday mornings at the morning Bible study, we will be beginning, we finished James, so we will be beginning this Wednesday a study of the Old Testament tabernacle, all of its symbolism, and what that means for the New Testament Christian today. So if you're interested in that, we invite you to come out for that. And this Wednesday we'll be finishing up, the good Lord willing, the Gospel of Mark, and moving on into the Psalms in the following week, I believe. Well, family and friends, have you ever given thought to this? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every single person who was ever born into this world was born into this world a Christian, healthy, wealthy, and wise? That'd make life simple, wouldn't it? Take care of a lot of the problems. But that's not reality. Man just isn't born that way. But God seeks us. Hallelujah for that. God searches for us. Thank God for that. And God finds us to all of those who will open their heart unto Him and gives us the opportunity to become a child of the living King through repentance and faith. Why repentance? Because the Bible says without repentance there is no remission of sin. And we need to repent because all of us have done some things we ought not to be proud of. We know that not everyone born into this world is born healthy. We know not everyone is born wealthy, are they? And some never attain any wisdom at all. That's the reality of life here on earth. And when it comes to the Christian life, some start out bad and then they finish good. And others start out good, and they finish poorly. How many of you have ever thought about this? It's not easy to finish well, is it? Have you ever given thought to how you want to finish? All of us, we've been given a limited amount of time, haven't we? There was the day of our birth. We know should the Lord tarry and we have to see the undertaker instead of the upper taker, there's going to be a date on some stone somewhere that'll bear our passing. And all we've got is that little dash in between, and we don't know how long we have, do we? But I just wonder, how often do you think about, if this was my last day on earth, if this was the last breath that I shall take, how do I want to finish? Do I want to run the race well? Do I want to be like Paul, who said that I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, I'm running to finish well? Now there's a Bible character we looked at a few weeks ago. He started out bad, you remember. He wanted to go out with Paul and his uncle Barnabas, and he wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to do things for Christ. But then he discovered something. He discovered that the Christian life, it's not an easy life. It's a warrior's life. And we need to be on the front lines of ministry because God's called us to be Christian warriors. We know that. We used to sing those old war songs in church, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as the War. We used to teach our kids, I want to fly and march in the infantry, fly in the military, and all that kind of stuff. I think my favorite part of that song when I was a little kid is you got to shoot the gun. You know, standing in front of the church, shooting my little guns off. Well, you know, John Mark, he started out bad. Because he got out there, and when things got tough, he just done give up and quit. He went home. And we'll not take time to rehash all of that, but we know that he started out poorly, but by the grace of God, we have a book in the Bible written by this man named Mark. And so God makes it very clear that though he started his Christian life in a very poor manner, he did finish well. Another thing I find amazing when I give thought to the message tonight is how a student of comparative anatomy can build a whole structure from just one or two known bones. And forensic science has made leaps and bounds, and they can tell us many times the true cause of a situation and who's responsible for the crime. That got me to thinking, you know, if man can do that, just imagine what God can do. He's omniscient, isn't he? He sees everything. He's omnipotent. If man can do that with man and man's situation, just imagine what God can do with just a few bones of Scripture in his holy word. And he can take and he can paint the whole portrait of a man. Tonight, God's going to paint for us the portrait of a man named Demas. And it'll do us well to listen to how God describes this man. We can keep these two characters that we've talked about, John Mark and Demas. And if we listen close, we can take some examples. We can be thinking about how do we want to finish this race. Do you know how much longer you got to run? No, you don't. But we better run well. I do know that. See, one thing I know, that though the canon of Scripture is closed, yet God is still writing a book. He's still writing a book about our lives. And right now, by God's grace and through His grace, our lives are still perpetuating the stories and the memories that will be spoken of us when we're gone. How many of you know this? Life's like a shadow. It's here, it's over, and it goes quickly. And so, have you ever given thought to this? What will people remember about you when you're gone? What do people remember about you when you're gone? My mama's been gone now since 2013. But oh, how I remember mama. Mama's walk with Christ. That's what I remember most about my mama. Mama always wanted the children to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I can remember Mama during the last days of her years of her life. She'd get sick and she'd be in the hospital. And I can remember one time her pastor coming in and saying, "Now, Sandra, we're doing nominations for the new committees this coming year. And darling, I think it maybe this year you need to come off the children's ministry." There's my mama laying there in a hospital bed. And she looked up with her little finger. She said, "Don't you dare. I just had Dick go buy me a new pair of gym shoes. I'll be getting out of here." Mama thought she'd be getting out. She didn't. God had another plan for her. But oh, that fighting spirit. She was going to get up, get to church, teach those kids. During the last of Mama's life, she would rally every Sunday so she could make it to church, and then she'd be back in dialysis for 3 out of the next 5 days. And, you know, if you've ever been on dialysis, it just knocks you way down. But I remember that about Mama, her walk of faith, her fighting spirit, her desire to see people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, especially the children. What about you? What about me? What's going to stand out when we're gone? What will it be that people will remember? In God's Word, we have the book of Acts, which characterizes, as you well know, the acts of all of the apostles and the believers, what they did, what they accomplished during that day. But as I said, I believe that God is still writing His book. He's writing about the acts of this guy and the acts of each one of you, and God's writing it down, and He's got it memorized, and He knows us. And what will God be writing about the acts of those of us who claim to know Christ as our Lord and Savior? See, God knows everything about you. God already knows whether your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. And have you ever given thought if your name isn't found written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, where you're going to spend eternity? Now, I imagine in this crowd, there's a lot of people who come to know Christ as Savior, but there's a whole world of people outside these four walls and in our community who don't know Christ. There's even some out there in our community who think they know Christ, but they don't have a clue who Christ is. They need Jesus every bit as much as we needed Jesus. Another thing I know, the world is full of imposters, isn't it? We know this because not everyone or everything is always portrayed to be what they claim to be. Sometimes we discover that what a person said they were, or the depiction that they gave of themselves, just simply isn't true. And just as that's true in this world, it's also true in the church. Some people who claim to be saved really aren't saved at all. Some people who say they're working for Jesus, well, they're working against Him. And Jesus preached several parables throughout the Gospels about this. You know as well as I do that not all people who claim to be saved are truly saved. And Jesus said that in the church there was going to be wheat, genuine believers, saved people. And He said to you need to know this, church. There's also going to be tares. There's going to be imposters. And that's not only true of people, it's also true of churches. Just because a church claims to be a church, it doesn't mean it's a church that God inhabits. Any church or any denominations that teaches doctrines of man over the doctrines of the Bible or changes the Word to God to make it say something that it really doesn't, that's not a church that God can honor, is it? Just because it has the label Christian doesn't mean it is Christian. And I pray that you've read this book enough to know that. Because the Bible is chock full of examples of what I'm speaking of. In one such character, whose life can be summed up in one fateful sentence, is the man named Demas. He is the poster child, if you will, of a man who started out good, looked every bit the part, and yet he finished bad. Demas is only spoken of in four pieces of Scripture in all of the Bible. Just four short verses. And so that we can say that God took four short verses of this man and four short bones of Scripture, if you will, and He sketched for us who this man was, his whole structure, his whole life summed up. That got me to thinking too about my life. Of course, seeing how I'm the pastor, when I think about my life, it makes me think about your life. That's natural, isn't it? What might God take of you and me to sketch the whole structure of our lives? God took Colossians 4:4 and Philemon 24, Philippians 2:20, and then finally here 2 Timothy 2:10 to sketch the 2 Timothy 4:10, to sketch the whole structure of Demas' life. And it's from these four bones of Scripture that we can draw our picture of the character and the structure of this one individual. We can picture him before meeting Paul as an agreeable young man with no particular vice. There was nothing that stood out. God didn't say this is his issue, meaning simply that the appearance of this man's character, it didn't have any visible flaws in it. And thus, Demas is not unlike us, is he? There are many who, like Demas, are very adept at covering up their character flaws. After all, isn't that why they created makeup and all other kinds of things? We can draw inference from the scriptures that this young man was not unlike many today who are taken away by everything that appears exciting, that appears romantic. I mean, he just saw it, he had to do it. And so when he met up with Paul, and Paul had a very strong personality, if you've ever studied the scriptures, you will realize that over and over again. Paul was a man who understood that life is a race. He understood our time here is short, and he understood he wanted to be all he could be for Christ. He wanted to finish life's race well. He had a strong personality because that man was on fire for Jesus Christ. And so when Demas met him, Demas was like a piece of soft iron, one that's temporarily magnetized by the presence of a magnet. As a result, the Bible tells us that he became a disciple carried away by the enthusiasm of sacrifice. It seemed so romantic, this idea of sacrificing, that he quickly identified himself with Paul in every way. He wanted to live like Paul. He wanted to die like Paul. He wanted to have his place like Paul among the martyred saints. Two bones of the four bones of Scripture inform us that Demas became a companion of Paul's during his first imprisonment. But then we discover from 2 Timothy 4:10 that when Demas arrived in Rome, he began to seek another exciting adventure, and thus he's descriptive for us of those who run with Christ until something better appears. Perhaps you've known some Demases in your life. Some people who came to church and man, they just seemed like they were so on fire for Jesus and they just wanted to serve Jesus and they wanted to be active in the church. They wanted to do everything everybody else did at church. And then all of a sudden they were gone. They don't have any time for church, don't want anything to do with church because they're focused on just about anything today, isn't it? It could be those Sunday morning sports leagues. It could be fishing. It could be golf. It could be anything, right? Be about anything. But something else has taken their heart. It's tough when you know a Demas, isn't it? Someone that you were counting on. Someone that you really cared about, someone you couldn't wait to see at church, and then they's gone. I wonder how Paul felt about that. When Demas arrived in Rome, with Paul, Demas wasn't a prisoner. Paul was. Demas could come and go as he wanted, and as he came and went, the contrast of the prison, which for Demas represented the sacrifice of the Christian life and the world that was being represented by those things outside the walls of that prison, we can characterize them the way the Bible characterized them, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And all of a sudden, Demas had an identity crisis. Not unlike the crises that you and I face in life. Are we really going to do what God says, or are we going to go our own way? When the idea of God's will versus my will, God's sacrifices versus getting to do what I want, when that became clearly evident, You know, I know what happened. The Christian life for Demas became intolerable. How many people might you know in your life where they started out so good, but now any talk with them about church, about God, they don't want to hear it. It's intolerable to them. You see, Demas saw the magnificent hall of the Caesars. He saw the gorgeous homes of the rich and the glitter of the world. He heard the world's music. He saw its vain loves. He listened to its laughter. He indulged in its wine. And Paul writes that Demas yielded to the many charms, vain charms of this world. Look at it there in 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul writes, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Boy, that says a mouthful, don't it? What is it that you really love? The idea of sacrificing for Christ? You know, of languishing in the prison where his friends were? All that Christian stuff suddenly seems so wretched to a world at his fingertips. And Paul began to sense long before he wrote, there was something wrong in this character named Demas. There's just something that's not measuring up. Because he told the Philippians that he had no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, which is why he sent Timothy. Thus Paul wrote the Philippians that he was hoping to send Timothy, not Demas, to them soon. It's funny, isn't it, in an odd sort of way. The longer you spend time with someone, the more you begin to see their character flaws. This is what Paul discerned with Demas. Demas wasn't who he claimed to be. Now, Paul did not judge his character. No one has to do that, and no one should do that, because the truth is, the more time you spend with someone, their character will come out. Character is something that we cannot cover up, because character is what truly defines us. Now, I'll grant you, for argument's sake, that we can cover up some of our character for a time, but we cannot do it for all time, because it's hard to deny the real you. Amen? You know I said that right. Character is always going to come out, and I believe God is going to judge our character. Did we live out what we claimed? Because the truth is, character always lives out what it truly loves. Let me illustrate. You can take a pig, you can give it a bath, you can dress it up, you can take it down to the county fair, and it may win the blue ribbon for you. It may be the best, prettiest pig there ever was. But friend, you know as well as I do, that pig's going back to the slop, amen? Because that's what that pig truly loves. It loves the slop. His character is comfortable there. He likes that pig pen. And so he goes on back to that pen because that's what he truly loves. And thus, with the last bone of Scripture, God sums up Demas' whole life for us. And it's one of the saddest sentences that I'm certain the Apostle Paul ever wrote. You see, Paul wrote 13 epistles. And some even give him credit for the book of Hebrews. And out of all of those sentences, I believe this is the saddest sentence that Paul ever had to write. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Let's make application as we draw our message to a close tonight. We can learn from this that Demas was a man of unwavering impulse. He surrendered his passion for living for Christ to sink in the swirling waters of this present world. What are you really passionate about? What do you really want to see take place? His life is another from God's examples from His Word that where our heart is, that's where we're finally going to end up. That's where we are. Demas thought because he started out good, he'd be okay. Perhaps you know some Demases today who think that way. But understand this, God never commended Demas for how he started. God will never commend us for how we start. God judges us for how and where we'll finish. It isn't how you start with Christ. It's whether or not you finish with Christ that counts. And God clearly says here that Demas did not finish with Christ. Friend, a faith that is faulty from the first. I imagine Demas was like a lot of people today. He thought, well, you know, I'm good to go. I prayed that prayer. I'll hear. I can do what I want. Oh, I know the Bible says trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not upon my... enough of that. I want to do this. I want my way. I want my will. Demas was one of those that evidently didn't understand what James says. And I say this verse all the time because it's just that important. James told us to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. There's a lot of theology in that little verse, isn't there? A faith that is faulty from the first. God wants us to know it's going to fizzle in the end. This isn't how you start, friend. It's how you finish that counts. Look with me at verses 6 through 8 here in the fourth chapter. Paul is writing and he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You know what Paul was looking forward to at that moment in time? The final march. The final march down to where they'd take that sword. And they'd lay him over that and they'd take his head off. He says, "I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." Paul is the picture of a godly saint. He was running the race, fighting the fight. He wanted to finish well. John Mark started out bad. He finished good. But then there's Demas, isn't there? Then there's Demas. Oh, the Christian life looked so good to him in the beginning. He was so excited about it. But then that old world got in the way, didn't it? Demons didn't count the cost. And friend, whenever you don't count the cost, you're not going to be able to run well. Demons had a faulty faith. And God wants us to know that it fizzled in the end. Oh, how we need to be praying today for ourselves, for one another. We don't know how much time we have, do we? I like to joke with people every now and again because the Bible says this, in the moment of in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive will go on up and meet the Lord in the air. Now, I don't know if we're at the last trump, but if God ever did have a play on words, this election certainly would say it. You and I don't know. Tomorrow we could be gone. We could be gone just like that. How are we going to finish? I tell you, none of us will finish well if we don't plan, we don't think about it. How we want to finish. We need to plan. We need to think. And we need to pray. Oh God, let us finish well. Let us be able to say what Paul said. I have kept the faith. I have run the race. And I'm looking forward to that glorious crown that's going to be awaiting. And why do I want the crown? Not for my glory. Because the book of Revelation says that Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders, which represents the church, they're going to cast their crowns at the Savior's feet. I want a crown that I can cast. I don't want a crown for me. I want to be able to honor the Lord by giving my crown back to the one who wears the crown. Back to the one who created me, the one who saved me, the one who died for me. Oh God, help us finish well. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Lord, in the quietness of this moment, may your Spirit search our hearts and our minds. Lord, may you just help us to see ourselves. Lord, just do a little inventory with us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Commend us where we can be commended, but Lord, I pray you'll convict us where we need to be convicted. Lord, help us as we leave here tonight to think about what you're saying to us. And Lord, help us to remember that we need to finish well. And let us make that our heart's desire, oh Lord. Help us to finish well. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, by golly, Marty, I spoke about it, and there it is. There it is. Yep. One of the greatest songs ever written. Let's stand, let's sing, Onward Christian Soldiers. And when you leave this place tonight, you be a soldier for the master. You go and serve him. God has spoken to your heart tonight and you just want to come and pray, you come.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host does flee. Onward, Christian soldiers, unto nations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Brother Dwight, would you come forward and close us in prayer?
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day, thankful for this opportunity to come and gather to worship you and to hear the word preached to us. Certainly each one of us wants to finish well, but Lord, most of all, want to finish. And God, lead and guide us, Lord, in all things. Lord, may we lift you up and praise the mighty name of Jesus, the one that died for each and every one of us, Lord. We just do that tonight. I lift you up and praise your name. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Brother Don and Michelle. Continue blessing, Lord. May we be encouraged to keep pressing on, not grow weary, but just keep pressing on, because time is at hand. Our lost needs to be saved, and we as Christians need to seek you more each and every day. Lord, may we do that. Seek your face. Lord, I love you and praise you, and I thank you for my salvation. Go with us now, guide us, and keep us all safe. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.